The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studios. Welcome to The Big Show. And oh my goodness, what a show we have for you today. Coming up at 1:30 this afternoon, Dave Wyman will join us to talk about, I got lots of stuff to talk with Dave about. But let's get right into our Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Coming up at 12:30 this afternoon, Kim and Mark Helinski, the mom and dad of Washington State Cougar quarterback Tyler Helinski. They are going to join us, and we're going to spend a whole half hour with them. You've no doubt heard the news today that in a documentary that they're working on with Sports Illustrated, they were also on the Today Show this morning, Kim and Mark Helinski have revealed that their son Tyler, who committed suicide with a gun in a Pullman apartment, he'd just seemed like the brightest star in the sky as not only a Cougar quarterback, but as a son and as a friend and as a teammate. Everybody just thought the world of Tyler, and everybody was trying to figure out what had gone so horribly wrong that this young man would take his life. And now we have a possible contributory factor. The brain autopsy of Tyler Helinski revealed that he had phase one CTE. So the early stages of the brain disease that has been diagnosed in so many football players. And the thing is, you can't diagnose it in a living person. So the only way you can diagnose CTE is after they've died. But there have been so many prominent NFL players who have been diagnosed with CTE who have killed themselves. And a couple of them, Aaron Hernandez, the tight end for the New England Patriots, who committed murder, went to prison, and then killed himself in prison. And when
the doctor said he had the worst CTE they've seen.
Yes, which may explain how a guy who had signed a $35 million contract had decision-making skills that were so horrible that he would kill another human being, and then he killed himself. And then the one that shocked the world, because he had always seemed such a friendly, affable guy, Junior Seau of the San Diego Chargers, who was just a phenomenal Hall of Fame player, and he killed himself in a particularly gruesome way, shot himself in the chest, which is pretty rare. And everyone's trying to figure out what kind of role these brain injuries play in these football players who suffer. It's not just the suicides, but there's been Lou Gehrig's disease, a higher instance of that, dementia, and all kinds of post-football career problems. And, you know, the guys I do the pre- and post-game show with, who played in the league for many, many years, they're among my dearest friends in the world. And I always worry. I've talked with them about that. And I've also asked the question, knowing what you know now about brain injuries, would you let your kids play football? And some of the cases I've already gotten the answer, because their kids are old enough to have played high school and college football. So I'll ask the Helinskis that question. Knowing what they know now about the brain damage that Tyler had suffered, and they sound amazingly bitterness-free toward football. But we'll talk about all of that. So Kim and Mark Helinski will join us between 12:30 and 1 o'clock this afternoon, and we'll get some answers to all of those questions. All right, next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
I tell you what, it has been a crazy couple of days here in Seattle. You just mentioned in your newscast, Ursula, and you were reporting this all day yesterday, a guy was fatally stabbed in Pioneer Square, 4:30 yesterday morning, 47-year-old guy, or 4:12 a.m. Seattle Fire Department took the guy to Harborview. He died there, and they said it started as a disturbance between two parties, which sounds a lot like the drug problems that have plagued Pioneer Square and our entire region. And did I just hear you say still no suspect in that one?
Yeah, the suspect is still on the run.
I asked this question a week or two ago. Do we have an unusually high number of unsolved murders relative to where it was 5 or 10 years ago? And I don't have the stats, but it sure seems, you know, with the Bury and the two teenage girls who were murdered months ago, and there have been so many between then and now, it sure seems like we have a lot of unsolved murders and killers who are running around free here.
I think we can ask and see if there's some way to quantify that, because obviously other factors come into play, including growth in the city.
Yeah, sure.
You know, but certainly we could look into it.
I would just be curious what their clear rate was 10 years ago for all the murders around here and what they are now.
Yeah.
And certainly... You know, the number will change and it'll get better for even these crimes, just as we've seen 30-year-old murders solved recently.
With DNA technology.
Yeah. But, man, there seems to be a lot of unsolved murders right now in the city. So, Pioneer Square one, man stabbed to death at 4 a.m. yesterday. Or as Jenny Durkin would tell us.
It's a safe place.
Then you have on First Hill. A man was arrested this weekend for attempting to kidnap a child. A father called 911, reported a man had just attempted to abduct his child. The man told officers the kid had been playing in the breezeway of their apartment building on Boren Avenue when an unknown man walked up to the kid, picked the kid up, and then began to run away. The parent yelled at the suspect from 125 feet away, and that's when the suspect dropped the child. The father was able to give a description of the suspect, and 3 minutes later, police did find that guy and took him into custody.
It's a safe place.
Yeah, it really is a safe place. Then you have what's going on with Seattle Fire right now. And this is our Hannah Scott. Is reporting this, that when Seattle Fire has to respond to a call, they generally send two people out. But there is so much concern about firefighter safety, the Seattle Fire Department has doubled the number of people who will respond to calls at homeless shelters in the city. A captain for Seattle Fire says going from 2 to 4 firefighters, and in many cases they've had to triple it to at least 6. And they say this will help the firefighters maintain an elevated awareness of the situation so that they can provide effective patient care. So think about that. We used to send 2 firefighters out on a call, a medical emergency call. And now the only way they can ensure the safety of these firefighters is sending a crew of 6. Think of the taxpayer cost of tripling the number of people who have to respond. And in cases like that, they often have to triple the number of vehicles. Right, Mayor?
It's a safe place.
Yeah, I've been hearing that from Mayor Durkin a lot. She's been sticking her head in the sand when she's in town. I know that Mayor Durkin, she has to run around the country because we have lots of other problems. Down on the the Texas-Mexico border, where Jenny Durkin was desperately needed. But this is what's happening in our city and in our region right now. And for her to tell us after, you know, a father and daughter on Father's Day, and the couple, the family couple, father, daughter, they get abducted by a stranger. He's grabbing the daughter, shaking her. Daughter pulls out a collapsible baton as a weapon. The homeless guy takes that away, clocks dad in the head. Mayor Durkin's response to all of this stuff.
It's a safe place.
Family from out of town tries to go visit the Space Needle. Homeless guy jumps out with a piece of rope, puts it around the neck of the dad, tries to choke him out for absolutely no reason at all.
It's a safe place.
In fact, that was the incident where she said that quote. She said, we have 40 million people who come to our city as tourists, and only a few of them. We've got an attempted kidnapping. We've got a stabbing death. And there's so many more. The woman brutally raped in the Ballard car dealership bathroom. And the solution to all of this has been, well, let's put in these heroin dens, and now it's the ice cream truck. Let's do the heroin rolling ice cream truck so that we can perhaps, if Sally Bagshaw gets her way, perhaps we can even just give the heroin to the addicts. And what we're seeing is, and I've been talking to you about this for a long time, tremendous migration of homeless people from around the country to our city. And it's undeniable that many of these most serious crimes and abductions, our friend who was the attempted victim of a violent rape at Golden Gardens, but she was able to fight her way out of it, Kelly Herron, that was a guy from out of state. The accused rapist in Ballard in the car dealership bathroom, that was a person from out of state. So many of these stories continue to involve people from out of state. And then unbelievably, we've got Sally Bagshaw, who worked feverishly to keep an accused child rapist in the mayor's office, was sending emails, sending text messages. Oh, I think you're going to like the news, to Ed Murray's staff. I think I'm going to be able to get five people to say he should finish out his term. I think I can keep the accused child rapist as mayor of Seattle. That was Sally Bagshaw. And now her latest thing was, well, let's look into buying heroin for the addicts. I think I played this last week. A listener said, you know, you got the perfect Sally Bagshaw theme song, Monson.
I used to know a girl. She had two pierced nipples and a black tattoo.
This is our Sally Bagshaw theme song. This is her vision for the city here. Bring them in from all around the country. Yeah, we're all happy with our heroin girl. Sally Bagshaw, then she goes on her blog and she tried to claim she did not say what we have her on tape saying at a city council meeting, that she wanted to look into buying heroin for the addicts. Now, look at what our region's become. Mike O'Brien, huge part of the problem on the Seattle City Council. Mike O'Brien. Well, do you think the war on drugs worked? Yeah, I think it did a heck of a lot better than what you're doing right now to this city, to this region. And what we're seeing from this list of crimes that we're telling you about here, what we're seeing is an epidemic. People are getting murdered, people stabbed to death, shot. It's all around the region. Still haven't caught the killers of the teenage girls down in Burien. Oh, but I got some good news for you. The free bus passes got approved by the Seattle City Council yesterday. That was the other announcement. That's the one thing the Seattle City Council's gotten done. Jenny Durkin's plan to give, and of course, they call it free. What it is making other people pay for kids, bus, and ORCA, and light rail passes. The most generous program in the country, they said. No other city in the country provides year-round bus passes and light rail passes for every public high school student. The private kids, forget about them. They don't need them. But the public high school kids, they're getting everything's for free because that's the message. And it's also starting to inculcate an attitude that is not serving our region very well. And that attitude is, other people should pay for my stuff. And then you see the further analysis of a study I told you about a couple weeks ago, but more analysis. We have the highest or second highest grocery prices in the United States of America. How do you think that helps the homeless around here or the people on the margins? But why? Well, because we have the most burdensome government in the United States of America. And when you have burdensome government, when you make other people pay for other kids' bus passes and light rail passes, you make other people who maybe scrimped and saved and denied themselves vacation so they could send their own kids through college, and now they are being taxed to send Seattle public school kids for free college. It's free. The heroin will be free after Sally Bagshaw looks into it. Free heroin. Free bus passes. Free college. Everything is free in Seattle. And as I've said many times before, the only thing that really creates is a bunch of freeloaders. And it's just not a healthy, emotionally healthy region right now. Public safety is not emotionally healthy.
It's not actually healthy.
Highest property crime rate of any major city in the country, and those are the ones that are reported. Maybe half of the actual crimes get reported. It's much worse than what the stats say, even. Because Seattle Police doesn't respond. They can't. They're overwhelmed. There are too many of them. So that's what we're looking at right now. Looking at a nightmare with all these crimes that are happening on a daily basis. Or, as our mayor would describe it, Jenny Durkin, what do you say about all these stories I was just laying out for my listeners today?
It's a safe place.
All righty then. Then everything's fine. Okay, that there is your big lead.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news, and then the parents of Tyler Helinski, Kim and Mark Helinski, will join me next on the Dory Monson Show. Well, it was last January when all of the sporting world was absolutely shocked by the death of Washington State University quarterback Tyler Helinski. And shortly after hearing about the death, within hours, we found out that it was a suicide. And he has parents who are trying to get some answers. I had a chance a couple of months ago to talk with Tyler's mom, Kim Helinski. And Kim is back on the show with us this afternoon, along with her husband, Mark Helinski. And Kim, Mark, I appreciate both of you coming on with me today.
Thanks, Dory.
Yeah, thank you. We're actually here in New York.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, because you guys went on the Today Show this morning, right?
Exactly. That's right.
So, Mark, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this, but I'm the parent of three daughters in their 20s. My youngest was a Coug, and I can only begin to imagine what you and your family have been going through these last several months. But with this CTE diagnosis, tell me when you got that information about Tyler's brain.
Sure. Dory, I'd first like to say, and I'm sorry I wasn't there to talk to you guys, the most important thing for us to tell you right now is that we are greatly in debt to the Coug family, the alum, and really the whole Pacific Northwest has been incredibly supportive. And we're very grateful. We couldn't have gotten through the stuff we went through today and continue to go through and get through the past 5 months without their support.
Well, I'm sure everyone appreciates hearing that because I've heard so much love expressed about Tyler and for your family. And I know that your family remains in an awful lot of people's prayers around here, too.
Well, we're very grateful for that. I can tell you... very quickly when we went to the medical examiner's office, you know, and they were more kind than the sterile sort of, you know, thought process I had on how maybe those guys would react. And we met with the medical examiner and the detective at the time, and the request was made at that point, or nearly that point. I don't remember exactly anymore. But they asked us if we'd be interested in working with the Mayo Clinic and have Tyler's brain, you know, examined by them for potential CTE at that time. Some 6 to 8 weeks later, we received a phone call. I think Kim received the phone call first, and we were advised of the results, and we got a follow-up report from them indicating that he had CTE stage one.
And what does that mean? Because I'm sure you guys know a lot more about CTE than even those of us. You know, I cover the Seahawks, but I'm sure you've gotten a crash course. So what does phase one mean?
You know, for neither Kim nor I are medical experts for sure. And we've had the very difficult task of trying to learn from a lay perspective without a medical background on that stuff. So this is a father talking,
sure.
First of all, but state, you know, there's, my understanding is that there's three stages. As an example, Hernandez from the Patriots had his brain tested. He was CTE stage three. I'm unfamiliar with, you know, or less familiar with some of the others that have been publicly talked about, but CTE, if there's such a thing as mild, he had a mild form or the first stage, the first.
Okay.
That's what CTE stage one indicates.
And Kim,
now they also,
go ahead.
Sorry. Well, I was just going to say that they also said that that his brain resembled more of a 60-year-old or 60-plus-year-old from the medical examiner's office. Than what she would expect or she has seen in normal 21-year-old athletes.
Okay, got it. Kim, when you and I last talked, the big question, of course, was why. And you had told me what a happy boy Tyler was, and we talked about those iconic photos of him with a big smile being carried off on his teammate's shoulder. Does, and I don't even know how to phrase this question, but if CTE played some factor, does that give you any measure of comfort of knowing that there may have been an answer to that why?
You know, and that's sort of, it's double-edged a little bit because, you know, we kept searching for the why, and eventually we didn't think we'd ever find out 100%. And then we did get the report in the mail. And the first thing I thought of is that we allowed our son to play football. We allowed his brothers to play football. I mean, there's thousands and hundreds of thousands of parents who allow their children to play football. And Tyler, you know, developed CTE. And did that play a part in what he did on January 16th? I think it did. But I'm not an expert. So it filled in some of the questions that we had, but I don't think it's entirely what happened to Tyler on January 16th, but it did help us realize that there's something that just wasn't right with Tyler. And now we had something concrete and to focus on, as far as the why.
Besides the physical nature of CTE, have you, since we last talked, have you gotten any other answers, not physically related, emotionally related, as to the why?
We look back and we hear some thoughts and some remarks from people in November, late November, early November, somewhere around there, going into December. And we remember Kelly, I guess, had told or had heard from Tyler, you know, I'm sad, and he sort of turned him around on that. And Tyler had shared that same thought with a girlfriend that he had at Washington State. And he also got a pretty big hit, and you probably saw it in the Sports Illustrated video that was online today in the Arizona game. So it seems like all that sort of came together at the same time, and I don't know if that's a coincidence. I mean, it's just 5 months since he passed. We're still trying to put the pieces together, but at the same time, we're trying to really move forward so that we can help these student athletes.
Yeah, and I know that's why I and so many of my listeners, maybe who have kids who play football, why they appreciate hearing from you on this subject. And, of course, the big question, I'm going to take a quick time out here, Kim and Mark, but the big question, if you could go back and do it all over again, would you have let Tyler play football? So I'll dive into that. We're talking with Kim and Mark Kalinske, their son Tyler, the Cougar quarterback who took his life in January, but his memory lives on. And our conversation with his parents will continue in just a moment here on the Dory Monson Show. We are talking with Kim and Mark Kalinske. Their son, Tyler, was a shining star who played quarterback for the Washington State Cougars, but he took his life in January. And mom and dad and the whole Coug Nation have been trying to get answers why. They've gotten some autopsy reports that show that Tyler was in an early stage of CTE, the brain injury that afflicts so many football players. And Mark, I know the questions that a lot of people have, and I've seen it in some of the comments today. They've said, how many hits does it take? Because, you know, he was mostly a backup quarterback at Wazoo, and I don't know, you know, what kind of shots he took in high school. But have you gotten any answers as to how limited a number of impacts can make that kind of lasting imprint on an athlete's brain?
No, we haven't. The one part that I think is changing the storyline around CTE that we've read is concussions seem to be less of the issue. So not that they're good, and not that you should play with a concussion, and not that multiple concussions aren't something to take care of. But whether whether it's ruled a concussion or not, doesn't seem to be the leading indicator of CTE. It seems to be repetitive trauma and multiple hits. How many hasn't been determined or even guessed at from the literature we've read yet.
From talking with both of you, it sounds like you certainly see this as a causal possibility to the suicide. I don't hear a lot of bitterness toward football. I'm not hearing that in your voices. Is there?
Oh, you know what? That's a great question and a good catch. It's a complex question. There's no bitterness towards football, the sport. There's a lot of disappointment, of course, in our lives. We're missing, you know, the brightest star on the planet as we're concerned, as we are concerned. But we're not blaming football. We have three kids that played football. I think the math sort of makes everybody sit up and wonder. You know, there's millions of kids that have played football for 90 years that have gone through all this, and this wasn't an outcome for them. And so there's no bitterness there. That's one part of it. And we have a 17-year-old who's an awfully good quarterback and another amazing, you know, child, and he's continuing to play. And I think what it is, Dory, for us is – it's a risk, like a lot of sports, you know, it's a risk that we have to, as a family and as individual players and individual families, sort of assess. And the point that we're at now, looking back on Tyler, it's very, while it's very difficult, we understand that we're looking through the lens of two parents that lost their child, two brothers that lost their middle brother. And so everything's a little distorted. We don't know. I mean, the hit in the Arizona game, certainly the hits he took when he was playing Pop Warner, et cetera. We're going to continue to study and learn from it. But I think that's right. The bitterness is suppressed because of the sadness. I mean, at the end of the day, this is confusing to us and it's upsetting and all those things. But it's really overridden by just, you know, missing this wonderful child.
Well, and you've kind of answered my next question by telling me that your 17-year-old is still playing. And when your boys give you grandkids, would you feel okay about them playing football too?
Well, I hope that's a ways away. and that only matters, I mean, in this sense, it only matters that I think there's a lot of resources being poured into the study of CTE at the moment. And I think that's probably today I would say that it feels like what we're learning is maybe starting them a little later than starting them at, you know, 5 and 6 years old might be a positive thing. I would wait to get, you know, all the available information at that time before making that decision. Of course, now I would move heaven and earth and trade anything to have Tyler back, including, you know, never introducing them to football or discouraging them or whatever. But that's, you know, that's a unique situation in our case. But I think, you know, having all the right having the most up-to-date information is what would drive that decision.
Yeah, and that's such a well-said response, because we cannot live our lives in hindsight, and that would just add to the futility of the situation to ask what if we had done something different, because you made all the great decisions that, you know, great parents of kids make, you know, about sports and other things in raising your boys, and so I'm glad you don't live the what ifs. Kim, man, your family is so strong, and, you know, Mark mentioned the outpouring of love that you guys have received, and when you and your son were in our area a couple of months ago. I think what you guys are getting back is just what everybody is hearing, and that is a family in the midst of unimaginable grief that is displaying even more unimaginable strength. And I'm really impressed with both of you.
Wow. Well, thank you. I tell everybody I have no idea how this moved so quickly in 5 months. And then I think, yes, I do. It's Tyler. And we're contacted by people all over the country, and they send me these amazing letters and emails. And this last one, I loved it. It's from a gentleman in Hawaii. And he said, Tyler always connected people in his life, and he's doing the same thing in his death. And I think that's, there's some power, some light that Tyler had that is going to keep living on. And everybody that has been touched by either his thought, you know, his memory, they've played a part in his life, they're going to follow this path with us. And we have a journey together that I think there are very many people that are committed to being on with us, and we're so grateful for that. And it actually gives us strength.
Well,
it gives us strength.
Let's stay in touch, because as you travel this journey, both of you, if you learn things that you think would be instructive for either families of athletes or families who are dealing with the grief that you both are, I would always love to talk with you and give you that opportunity.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
We appreciate that very much. And we said early on in our kind of message back to the community that we promised then, and we'll continue to honor that, that as we find out and learn more about this and what happened to Tyler, we'll share it as openly as we can, and see if that doesn't help all of us deal with it a little better.
Okay. All right. Well, we will indeed stay in touch. Kim and Mark Kalinske, God bless both of you and all three of your boys, and I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you, Dory.
Great. Hey, thanks
and
so much, Dory.
Yes.
Thank you for saying three of your boys. That means a lot.
I meant that very sincerely. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Okay. Bye.
Kim and Mark Kalinske joining us here on Cairo Radio. All right, and we have lots more to come. The Fastest 15 is coming up next.